you know the words that have rolled off her tongue that have been intended to love on others, Lord, and you know the panic that we have felt at times, Father, and even the frustration, but all of that, Lord, you see and you love us still. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the atoning sacrifice. Thank you for loving this world so much that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, but also abundant life on this earth. Let us be an encouragement to one another. Thank you for Marie. Thank you for Father preparing her whole life for this season of ministry. And as she comes to bring your word to us, Father, minister to her heart deeply. Thank you for your goodness. In Christ's precious and holy name, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Before I start, I would like to invite you to a video. Not only we can put our tongue under control, whole, but also to use it in a way to bear fruit of righteousness for God. If you have Bible, let's turn to James chapter 3, verse 1. James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Let no member many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." From the beginning of this chapter, why the author set up this tone and made such a huge deal by warning his Jewish brothers who wanted to teach? Well, let's bring back the situation in James' day. The Jews regarded teachers, which they called rabbi, with great awe and gave them much honor. Teachers were important in the early church. For the sake of prestige or some other motive, some who were ambitious sought a teacher status for the wrong reasons, according to the way how they lived and handled God's word. James warned them that they were to be judged with greater strictness by God. If so, who would dare to teach the Bible today? How can we teach without making any mistakes? Verse 2 says, "For we all stumble." In other translations, this word can be sin or fail to God in many ways. The author drew a circle that you and I are all in it. But if anyone does not sin or fall in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Words reflect a person's character and heart. Verse 3, "Now if we put the beaks into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well." Verse 4, "Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires." Horse is big and strong. Control it by putting the bit into its mouth. Ship is great and driven by strong winds, but it can be directed by a small rudder. Verse 5. "So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members, that which defiles the entire body. And it sets on fire the course of our life, and it is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, or reptiles and the creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." Let's unwrap this a little bit. Speaking of the tongue, first, we all know that tongue is a member of the body, an organ of speech. It was made by God when he created Adam and Eve in his own image. God was pleased with his design after 6 days of his works. He saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. In James chapter 3, the author uses imaginative or figurative words to describe and communicate with us about our speech. In other words, he uses a member of our body, the tongue, as a symbol for speech. It is obviously known as the tongue as an organ which corrupts the whole person, but the capacity for speech which has such a corrupting effect. The tongue is a small part of the body. both of great things. Psalm 12:2-4 says, they speak falseness to each other with flattering lips. With a double heart they speak. May Yahweh cut off all flattering lips, the tongue speaking great things. Those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are on our own, who is Lord over us? See, boasting our thing is pride. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue burns with blazing heat. It causes the heat of contention. James chapter 4 talks more about this. It sets others in a flame, a world of iniquity. The tongue was at first made to be an organ of God's praise, but it has become an instrument of unrighteousness by misusing it. The tongue becomes an unruly evil. A tongue can be used as an instrument by the enemy to lie, to boast, to flatter, to fight, to accuse, to kill and destroy, to against God and each other. I listed 15 types of tongue here, 15 types of tongue, you can look at them. For example, the Bible gives us a lot of illustrations about different tongues. Israel prophet Balaam chose to follow Balak, king of Moab, and curse his own people since his greed of money. A murmuring tongue is an unthankful tongue. Israelites were murmuring to God in the desert, even after he provided manna from heaven for their need. They were discontent because of their lustful desires. A cruel tongue is sharp as a sword. We know Job's wife said to him after he had lost everything except her, and she said, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. That's pretty cold. Seducing tongue by fine rhetoric lure men into error. In the book of Judges, Delilah enticed Samson to cause him to lose all his strength and fall into his enemy's hands. Look at our life today. A lawyer has a tongue that can be sold for money to defend for injustice. The scoffer who delights in his ungodly thoughts and ways seeks to trash or bully others who hold to views different than his own. Boasting tongue, men like to give glory to himself, boast of their own worth and power. His self is his idol, and he loves to have his idol worshipped. Flattering tongue, a man never flattered his labor, spread a leg for his feet, Proverbs 9:5. To dissemble love is not better than to lie. Speaking lie, have you ever been lied to? Lying is such a sin that could rob your credibility and reputation away, and leave you shame and regret. God hates a lying tongue. We will talk about this more later. Think about this. Is there a time when your spouse tries to bring up something, but afraid that you will blow it up? Is there a time your kids want to talk, but afraid that you will judge them or pour cold water on them? Or is there a time when you try to reach out to somebody, but you are afraid that you will be ridiculed or rejected? Many of us were traumatized by the tongue before. Words that you might have heard from your past, like, you are a mistake. where you shouldn't have been born, where you are not good enough. What an idiot. Why can't you just be like your friend? Well, you are not pretty. You're worthless. Well, I wish I didn't marry you. People make fun of you with a part of your body by calling you a nickname. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life. In Matthew 15, 10 to 11, when Jesus called the people and said to them, "Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." In verse 18 to 19, Jesus explained to his disciples about this parable. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. As a brother of Jesus, I believe James heard this teaching out of his Jewish religious background. James knew that his converted Jewish brothers and sisters needed to change the way they used to be. And this change has to start from inward, from their hearts. The tongue is set on fire by hell. Hell is represented as a place where the fires continually burn. Same word used in Matthew 5:22. The idea here is that which causes the tongue to do so much evil derives its origin from a hill where Satan and his followers belong to. In the spiritual realm, the very spirit of that world of fire and wickedness, a spirit of falsehood, slander, blasphemy, and all kinds of evil, seems to inspire the tongue. Remember, this book, which James wrote, was inspired by God. The word heal characterizes much of what the tongue does, and this is the fountain where the bitter water spews. The tongue is a ravenous evil and a full of deadly poison. Words can hurt and wound people deeply. The tongue speaks evil into people's soul. In Romans chapter 3, Paul argued that neither Jews nor Gentiles were justified by their religious or works, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As Paul quoted from Psalm 143 and Psalm 10:7, he says, "Their throats and are open graves. With their tongues they keep deceiving." The poison of vipers is on their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. No one can tame the tongue. It is a ravenous evil and full of deadly poison. Verse 8, James responds, accurate with Paul's teaching again. It speaks to us as a human being, our total depravity and fallen nature. We are absolutely helpless and doomed to be condemned by our sin. It is set on fire by hell through the tongue. We could not live a way to please God, even a small part of our body, the tongue, if we know God and His help. So what the tongue does? It speaks evil. It is set on fire by hell. It is full of deadly poison. It is uncontrollable and ravenous. It defiles and corrupts the whole person. It causes your whole life in trouble. It brings judgment. So what can we do about the tongue? How can we get help from God? As we continue on, I hope you will find some help from next several verses. Verse 9. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been laid in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things were not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and the bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Curse, according to the dictionary, it means to wish or pray against anyone. That is, to wish evil to invoke a power to harm another. From describing the tongue to address the real problem, James uses the first person to include all the believers, we. We, as Christians, praise and bless our Lord and Father. We don't have a problem with that. And yet, we curse men. Men include all who have been made in the likeness of God on earth. Have you ever cursed your spouse? Or somebody who drove on the highway and cut you off? Have you spoken hatred towards other races who are different than your skin and culture? A fountain does not send out the same opening both fresh and the bitter water. A fig tree cannot produce olives. Or so does a vine not produce figs. Each source has its own function and produces one kind of outcome. Salt water cannot make itself fresh again. So, my sisters, as Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I grew up in a culture where people often get their anger or resentment out by cussing each other, including insulting, shaming, criticizing, belittling, gossiping, or evil speaking, accusing, threatening, condemning. I was a little girl when my dad poured out his anger on me week after week, year after year, with his uncaring and cruel words, which were like a knife and a cut deeply into my heart. Leaving unsane and unhealed bruises and wounds in my life, I chose to leave home and start my own life in a new city. I thought separation and a new start would be a way to help myself forget those hurts. But I was wrong. I did not know how severely poisoned I was, and my life was sinking in the world around me. Until the day I met Jesus from hearing the gospel. I learned from that moment that I am loved by the Heavenly Father, even though I felt unworthy and shameful. The first time I know that how precious I am in God's eyes, that He sent His Son Jesus die on the cross for my sin, for bringing me back to Him. The Word of God has impacted me in many ways. Soon after I became a Christian, I started soaking myself into God's Word, the Bible. I found myself having never hankered for a book like this book. It is God's Word and His work have changed me my entire life. His tender love and grace have reached to a wounded girl like me in China 30 years ago and saved me from an atheist background. He brought me to His family and called me His daughter. He is the only one from the first place to speak truth, life, love, and hope.